I don't know if you consider yourself wise or not, but I know there's been times in my life that I thought I was about the dumbest man around, that I had no learning because of the way things had happened that I had no control over. And I'd try to fix problems that our family had coming up, and I'd try to fix this and try to fix that. And all of a sudden, I realized that I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to raise kids. I didn't know how to be a father that God had allowed me to become. He led me and my wife together at a young age. I was 19, she was 18. But now don't let that get in your way, because we've been married right at 50 years now. We were ready to get married. God put us together, and I don't care who tells you what, I was ready to get married, and she was too, because we had decided that in our own heart. God led us that way. We prayed about that a lot before we ever announced that we wanted to get married. We'd stop on the side of the road sometimes and pray and ask God to give us the wisdom that we needed. I didn't know where wisdom came from at that time. I really didn't. I didn't know that God was the one that was the only wise one. God is the only one, and he's the only one that can give wisdom. Let's listen in chapter 4 here. Moses had already been told by God that he was not going to get to enter the promised land. Now, can you imagine he had gone through all this struggles, and you know, if he was up on Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai and all them places that he went with the people and trying his best to guide the people like God told him to guide them and doing what God told him to do all this time. And here he had come upon, he had disobeyed God's what he did. And he came upon a time in his life, he was an old man, and he was looking so forward to going over to the promised land. And he talked with the Lord about it. And he said, just let me go, Lord. Let me see the new land. In verse 27 of chapter 3, he says, get thee up at the top of the Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with your eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And boy, can you imagine the disappointment in Moses' heart when he said, when God told him that, and he said, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Moses had to understand that he was not going to be the leader anymore. That God had chosen Joshua to go over and lead the people. Now Joshua probably didn't understand all the responsibility he is going to have either. He probably didn't understand, so like some of you fathers and mothers, you don't understand when you're a young married couple or a young couple that wants to get married, you don't understand all the responsibilities. But a wise God knows exactly what he's got in store for you. And you know what? We can smile and look forward to that, because he even knows what's going to happen to me. Now, I'm done past that noonday of my life. I've been able to see over the top of the hill and see. Now, it's coming to end of my days here. But you know, there's a wise God that has all that in control. Yeah. He knows what's going to happen. Amen. And he told Moses that Joshua was the one that he had chosen to go on over the river there and to lead his people and to where he wanted to be. So listen now in chapter 4, and I don't know how far I'm going to read here, but I'm going to read a while till. I hope you keep up with me and just try to picture old Moses and what he was going through. It says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, your fathers, giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor the Lord God, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Here's my thought for the day. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which ye shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Let's stop right there for a minute. My goodness. We live in a nation that God has had his hand upon. Amen. And then to see what's going on up in Virginia now, does it not bring a tear to your eye? And such a disgrace to God of what's going on. And you know what? I got to thinking about this, that those people really don't even know what they're doing. They don't understand the God that we serve. They don't understand that we serve a God that can fix all those things. And they could walk in unity if they would follow God. If they had any of the wisdom of God, they could walk in unity. But yet they're fussing and fighting over things that's history. It's nothing more than Satan working in their country, isn't it, Brother William? It's Satan working in the country to destroy and to kill and to do away with the way of life that we have loved. Now I'm gonna tell you something. God gave us a lot of benefits when He allowed us to be born here in this country. I'm like you. Now I don't know where I come from. I don't know if I'm Irish or if I'm French or English or what I am. But I know this: God gave me a blessing when He allowed me to be born here in this country. I was born on Sand Mountain. Right off the road, up I-75 here. And my grandmother taught me about Jesus. Yeah. And that's the best heritage that I have. Amen. Because that gave me I became a part of a family that I knew nothing about. I didn't know the blessings of God. When I was 10 years old, been 58 years, I've been a Christian now. And I'm still learning about it. You know, I was only called to preach 4 years ago. And God opened my eyes in a different way, Brother William. He opened my eyes and let me see a few things that I'd been teaching about in Sunday school for years. I didn't know some of the things that God has been able to show me in studying His Word since that time. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Wisdom is of God. And that's where wisdom is. If any of you young family members have a problem with understanding young people and understanding your kids, the way they act and the way they do and what goes on in their heads, you're going to have to talk to God about that. Yes, right. You can't read any of the philosophers of college. I went down to Auburn to college, and I saw those people laying out on the ground out there, and they'd ask, you know, go into psychology classes and physiology classes and all these other classes. They didn't know beans about how to raise kids. But God does. God will put on your heart the things that you need to do because He knows what tomorrow is. He knows what tomorrow is. He knows what it holds for your life, and He knows what it holds for mine. And I can give you a witness right now that being obedient to God is where it's at. That's what gets you where. That's what brings success in your life. Young folks, let me tell you this, that when you have questions about raising your children, you don't necessarily have to go to somebody else. Get on your knees and talk to God about it. And He'll bring to your mind those things that you need to do to share with them. Let's go a little further in the reading. It says, what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eye hath seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Brother William made mention that I have a son that's a preacher, and I do. And he has two sons, and both of them are preachers, and they're all three better preachers than I am. But I'm going to tell you something. That started a long, long time ago with a little old girl that got married at 13 years old up around Duncan's Crossroads, what I call it, up there at Powell's Crossroads and just out from Rainsville. Little old girl's 13 years old, and she met a man named Lemmy Barksdale. Lemmy Barksdale was about 18 then. Well, they decided to get married. And it just happened that Lemmy Barksdale was a man of God. He was a very bashful man. He wouldn't say 10 words probably all day long if somebody didn't force him to talk. He didn't like to talk. He liked to sit and meditate in his own way. But now she liked to talk. So I guess that's how they got together. It's my grandmother and grandfather. And they got together and along about 2 years after she got married at 15, she met the Lord and got saved. Hallelujah. And it sure changed her life because he had an influence. He took her to church, yeah, and he exposed her to the preached word of God. By the way, I wanted to tell you this. I wanted to say something this. I meant to say it a while ago. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And you, is anybody else in here rather be an old-time Christian than anything else I've ever heard in this land? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Well, that's what they were, as old-time Christians. And so he started taking her to church, and she taught her kids, which is my mother, to love the Lord. And she told me about times that they would walk to church, which is about a mile and a half, I guess, from their house, the church they went to. And sometimes she said it would be me and your papa and your mama and that's all, and the preacher, and that's all they'd be at church. And I thought, well, how in the world can you have church with that few? But they did. Yeah. God made a way. They had church, and she never would give up on that little church being a witness in the community. By the time I came along, there's 50 or 60, maybe 80, 90 folks there sometimes at that little church. And it was because of people that prayed and sought out the wisdom of God in what they was going to do. They sought out the wisdom of God and how they should build that church. And you know, she never met anybody that she didn't tell about Jesus and what he had done in her life. It had a tremendous influence on her life. And then she shared that with her children. And her children then passed it on down just like we do today. And you know what? If you don't do it as a parent, if you don't pass along that wisdom that your parents passed along to you, that they had learned from God, then it don't get passed along. It ends up, you'll have children that's out on the streets like they are in Virginia right now, searching for something they know nothing about. What they're really searching for is a relationship with God, isn't it? They're searching for the wisdom of God, but yet they're out there marching around getting hurt and don't know why they're there. Absolutely, they don't know why they're there. Well, I'm going to try to get back on the subject. One of the other definitions that old Webster gave for wisdom is good sense. Have you ever heard anybody say good old horse sense? Yeah. Just good old common horse sense is wisdom. Now you can look around and see these folks with that hair that favors mine that's sort of gray and I call it beauty. I'll tell you this, I've learned to respect it a whole lot more than I used to. The people that have put years in and years and accumulated, that's what this one of the definitions, one of the words that he says is accumulated philosophical or scientific learning. And you know, it takes years to learn. It takes some years and some sacrifices to learn the wisdom of God. It sure does. The ways of God. Now these people, Moses had taught these people his statutes, and he's talking about the Ten Commandments that God gave him. up there on the mountain, and they came down, and these people had just totally forgotten all that they said they'd do, and they had got old Aaron to make them a golden calf to worship. And God told them straight out not to do that. He even spoke to them from a mountain. Can you imagine what if your pastor, Brother William, told you, said, "Now y'all come on, I'm going to go over here and God's going to speak." And how many of you would even believe him? Well, that's what Moses did. God told Moses to gather up the people and bring them to that mountain. And he wanted to speak to them, and he did out of a cloud. And they could see the smoke and the rising, but they heard the voice of God. They didn't get to see his face, but they heard the voice of God. And he told them all the things that he wanted from them. God loved these people. He loved these people so much that he kept on and on and on trying to get them to do right. But we read there in verse 3, it says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of your disobedience, because of Baal Peor. And for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you." Now, you know, God's patience runs out with us once in a while, don't he? I know that for a fact. I know that because I really believe, now you might think different, but I really believe that the reason my dad died at 53 years old is because he called Dad to preach at 23 years old. He never did what God had called him to do. He allowed others to influence his life and kept him from doing what God wanted him to do. Now I really believe that at God gave him many, many opportunities to serve him, just like he does you. He's given you a lot of opportunities to serve him. And I don't know, I'm not preaching to anybody, because Brother William didn't tell, I don't know many. I know Brother Houston. Where are you? There he is, Brother Houston. I know you. I know a few more faces in this crowd, but not many. I don't know who this message is sent to, but I'm going to tell you what. God's word don't go out and come back void. So you better listen to what he's having to say today. Because it's not me. I'm not preaching. I'm not condemning you, and I certainly don't want you to think that. I'm not mad at you. Have no reason to be mad at you. But I'm going to tell you, somebody here, this message is for you.
That's right.
And you need to listen. You need to listen to what God has to say to you, because it's dangerous. God can take you out. Did you know that? God can take you out for disobedience. And just like he did these men back over there, he took them out. And destroyed them. I mean, they cut their life short.
Right.
And far as I know, they spend eternity in hell.
Yeah.
Like the man said this earlier, there's only one way to heaven.
Yeah.
And that's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, says, "Let not your hearts be troubled.
Yeah.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also."
Amen.
And Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, so how can we know the way?" You know what he said to him. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
Now, folks,
the
only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only way that we can get to heaven. And you know,
that
was taught to me by my grandmother and by my mother and my dad. My dad told me the happiest days in his life that he ever could remember was when he was serving the Lord. After I got married, moved away from home, I was gone for a while. And one day the Lord put it on my heart to find out if my daddy really was saved, because it got the burden in me. I didn't know. Dad never went to church. I can remember when I was small enough to stand up on the bench and watch what was going on. I can, about the size of that little fella that was in the aisle here a while ago, I can remember mother and dad both going to the altar and praying, and I wondered, what in the world are they doing? Why are they crying? So, and of course, I had enough learning at that time, I better sit there and be quiet, because they didn't allow me to cut up and ask questions during things like that. But I wondered what was on their heart. But then later on in life, Daddy quit going to church with us, and he wouldn't take us to church. He'd tell us we ought to go, but he wouldn't take us. And bless his heart, I know he wanted to. I know that God put that in his heart that he ought to.
Sure.
And he knew what is right and what is wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. God reaches a point sometimes in your life where that's all he's going to put up with. And he has showed that to me, that he's not going to tolerate disobedience. And he showed it this right here. He wouldn't tolerate those people, those unbelievers. God had told them to go in and possess this land, and they wouldn't do it. They would not trust him. They chose to refuse not to do what he told them to do. And even to the point where he had to get rid of them, because they were being a bad influence to the other people that wanted to believe. Now you think about that. It may be you that has the key to salvation for some of these young people here. It may be. You don't know. I don't know. It may be. Brother William can preach here all he wants to. And God's gonna take those messages that he preaches, and he's going to touch the hearts of the people that hear it. Now, he does that all over the county now, because I listen to him on Sunday morning on the radio. Even when I can't get to where he's preaching, I listen to him on the radio. And I know he preaches the Word of God. And the Word of God says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting even to the separation of the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
Folks, he's a powerful God. Yes. And he can do what he wants to do. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, I've got to skip over a little bit and hurry, because I know I'm out of time. But there's a couple of things that I want to bring your attention to, and one of them is in Ecclesiastes. Well, let's see. It's in Proverbs first. Proverbs chapter 3. If you want to know how to raise your family and how to deal with life, read the book of Proverbs about every month. You need to. It don't take you very long to read 30 chapters, I don't think. But if you'll just sit down and turn that old goofy box off and just listen. I know how it feels. My wife loves silence. She was raised as an only child. I was raised in a family of 7 children, and there was never a quiet minute around our house. But when I got married, I wanted some racket going, and I'd turn on the old TV or radio or something all the time. She liked silence. But I found out what silence has done, because I do it now. I turn off that mess and just listen, and I can hear God speaking a lot of times. He don't always speak to me, but I can hear him in the silence. I can hear him speak to me. And sometimes it's a very, very still, small voice that he speaks through, but I can understand him. And he don't have to holler at me sometimes now, because I'm listening. He's opened this old ear that I can hear him better now. And he'll do it for you if you'll listen. If you'll ask him for it, he'll do it for you. He'll let you understand a few things that you have always just sort of skipped over. He'll do that for you. But it says in chapter 1, and it says it on over in chapter 12, I believe it is, of this chapter, it says, but in verse 1, now you don't have to look all this up, verse 7 of chapter 1 in Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now look on over to chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 in verse 13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. That's something I used to search for. My dad was a smart man, and he taught me a lot of good things. And he had a very genius mind. He was a machinist, and he had to teach himself how to do trigonometry and algebra and figure parts. And he worked in the space program, and he made parts that put the man on the moon back in the 60s. And I used to just sit in awe and watch him at night when he'd study at the kitchen table. He'd study, and he only went to the 8th grade in school at 5, But he learned trigonometry and geometry and things like that by studying books.
Yeah.
And he had a brilliant mind. God had gifted him with that. And then as I grew on up and watched him as his life went on and he got to be older, I understood that he was a genius when it come to being a man.
Yeah, sure.
He left out some of the main parts, though. He got distracted. And God, I know God was good to him. And I know that one day when I went back to his house, I said, Daddy, I went over to his house on Sunday afternoon. I said, Daddy, I got to know something. I said, if you died today, do you know that you've been saved without a doubt that you'd go to heaven? And he was reading his newspaper in his bed, laying on top of his bed after church. He folded that old newspaper up and laid it down. He said, Son, don't you ever worry about me again. He said, I can take you to the place, and I can tell you the time Amen. When God saved me. And he said, don't worry about that. He said, I know that I have not lived like God told me to. He was one of them that got distracted by some old kin folks that used to like to drink and carry on. And I'm sure some of you may have a few of them in your family that like to do otherwise. But he said, don't you worry. He said, I can take you to the place to where I was saved. And so I said, well, you know, I'm never going to worry about that again. I said, I believe you. And he had no doubt in his mind, but he had already wasted his life. He had come down with emphysema and lots of different things that bother people that get overweight. And like myself, I'm getting to that point. But he had wasted his life, wasted his influence a lot of times.
Right.
Wasted those opportunities to train some kids. And now I've got two brothers. One of them died. And the sisters that mother used to take to church and let them sit under good preaching like Brother Cook. And she used to take them girls and go down to the church and she... made sure they was in church every Sunday. While Daddy had us boys at his house, we was up there feeding hogs and picking corn and everything else on Sunday, which we shouldn't have been doing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we were supposed to be honoring the Sabbath day. I didn't understand that in the Bible that we were supposed to go to church on Sunday instead of working. And he took that. He didn't ever get that. He didn't ever understand. He did understand it. He just rebelled. I'll just tell you the truth about it. And we can rebel, and I'll rebel too. All of you probably have against some of the things. But one of the things that's most important is that we honor God. And we teach our kids to honor God. I got two brothers right now that don't care one thing about going to church. One of them that's just 2 years younger than me, I have tried my best. And I was there the night he said he got saved. But you know, there's not any, he don't care about going to church. God put something in me when he saved me that made me want to go to church. It made me want to be around God's people. I asked him one time, I said, what are you going to do when you get to heaven if you're in a crowd that you don't know nobody and you have no spirit within you, and if you don't, you ain't going to get there if you don't have God's spirit within you. Now you need to think about that, young people. You need to understand that without Jesus, you ain't going to get there. And he said, I told you what he said a while ago in John, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way, folks. That's the one gospel, one way that the gospel teaches us. Well, I got to hurry. I've got to get on with this. And wisdom gives, it's first happiness. Wisdom gives life also. And let's look at Ecclesiastes, which is just over past Proverbs. And that's chapter 7. I want you to just get a few more places here and we'll be done. In chapter 7, verse 11, it says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money a defense, but excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom gives life to them that have it. And, wow. Time flies when you're up here, don't it? If any man lacks wisdom, James says, where do you go for it? Go to God.
Amen.
who gives wisdom liberally. So let me tell you, if you lack wisdom in your life, if you're living your life from one day to the next not knowing where to go and what to do, change things. Because if you do the same old thing, you'll get the same old results. Change it. Change it. Get down here in this altar and say, God, I need your help. And you're going to find out that God hears the prayers when you come with a broken heart and a
sincere spirit. That's right.
He does. He'll hear your prayers, and he'll answer your prayers, and he'll give you guidance to live your life and to be happy in doing that and to be the parents that you ought to be to your kids. Now, I want to tell you something. My kids, I love them better than anything on this earth. Now, I love God more. I try to. I didn't used to understand, didn't know how that I could love God any more than I love them kids. But I found out a few just very short years ago that I can love God more. But that makes me then love them more. I can't outlove God, can I? I sure can. I can't outlove God. But in conclusion, the smartest man, the most wise man on earth that the Bible speaks was Solomon. And then at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, let's look over chapter 12, and it says in verse 13, it said, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now there's 10 commandments, and I know none of you nor myself has been able to keep all those 10 commandments. We think that's just a very simple. There's laws that fill up books down there in Montgomery and in Washington, D.C. They fill up books with laws that we're supposed to live by. God only gave us 10. He said, don't add nothing to it and don't take nothing away from it. It's simple. Very simple. One of those is fear God and keep his commandments. And for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Folks, he knows what is in our heart, don't he? He knows your good side and your bad side. But the beautiful thing about God is he loves you. He loves you and he wants you to enjoy the abundant life. And I can witness to you today that there is an abundant life. It don't take money to make life abundant.
Amen.
It takes peace with God. Stand to your feet. Let's have a word of invitation.